Good honorable members, ladies and gentlemen. Honorable members, we have this meeting when it's real busy with the ETCs and all the work that we're supposed to do, the preparations as well from our side for budget vote, etc., etc. So I know that it's a very hectic time. I just want to assure members that we're definitely not going to keep them. But I'll quickly take you through the agenda in terms of the issues that we are going to discuss. We are only going to have one agenda item, and on our agenda item it is the adoption of the budget vote report. I need to just emphasize and indicate to members that the issue of the shortlist of the SABC board candidate has been deferred to another meeting. So we're not going to deal with that. The subcommittee is not in a position to report at this point in time, but we'll definitely do report once we are ready. So the agenda item is our budget vote report, which we have circulated to all members on time. And one wants to believe that we have all gone through the report, and I will open up space for members to engage with the report. Even beyond that, I will take members on a page-by-page basis, so that if there are any matters that members have need us to really look into and discuss, they can be able to do that. We just said that, honorable member, yes, welcome. We are just indicated members that because it's a very, very busy time, I'm not going to keep you, honorable members. So we're going to have this meeting that focuses on only one agenda item, which is the adoption of the budget vote report, so that we can be able to implement the report thereafter. Okay. Honourable members, we are presenting before you the draft report of the Portfolio Committee on Communication on its deliberation on budget vote. Sorry. That is Department of Communication and its entities, and we are presenting it today on the 12th. Can I take members through the report? On the report before you, honorable members, I would need members to indicate if there are any issues that need to be amended, starting with page 1. Any amendments on page 1? Any corrections? Honorable Dome? Definitely yes. It's vote 3 now. Remember, we're undergoing the transitional stage where it was run by vote for both telecom and communications, and then there was GCIS. At the moment now, it is named vote 3. That's how it is. Okay. Honourable member, page 1. If there's nothing on page 1, we can then proceed to page 2. If there are any issues, members, I'll just keep a show of hand on page 2. If there's nothing on page 2, page 3. From page 2, it has the establishment of the new Department of Communication. Page 3 is number 2 there, the overview by the Minister of Communications and strategic plan of the DOC, and 2.1 is the SABC. Honorable Thomas Calvick.
Thank you, Chair. On page 3 at the bottom, under SABC, I just need to some clarification if it is indeed the correct book here, and the last sentence before the next paragraph, cash and cash equivalent is projected also to grow from 1 billion in 2016-17 to 1.1 billion in 2017-18. According to my knowledge, it's currently selling at 1 billion. So shouldn't they read 2015-16? Just a clarification. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, the clarity here, Honorable Franskowski, is that from the, what is the full name of ENE? Estimated National Expenditure from Treasury. It's in accordance to that estimate that are in the ENE. Okay, and thanks for that. Any other issues, Honorable Davis?
Thank you, Chairperson. I just would like to know where we get these figures from. So the net profit is projected to grow from 90 million in 2015-16. I mean, I've read page 3 under the SABC.
Okay, 19, that's perfect.
Yeah,
okay.
The net profit is projected to grow from 90 million in 2015-16. Mm-hmm. But, you know, reports have emerged now in the public domain to say that the SABC is running at a loss of 500 million. So I'd like to know how that squares with this, because I don't believe that that report that was in a newspaper has been debunked by the department. So, you know, difficult to know what to believe, whether we believe this or whether we believe what we read about this 500 million rand loss in the newspapers. Also, the figure on the SABC audience share, it says here that the audience share seems to remain constant at 53%. But it's always been my understanding that the audience share is declining. I've actually never seen anywhere that the audience share is remaining constant. Even the department admitted that it's declining. So where does this figure that's remaining constant come from? Thanks.
Okay, I don't know if you want to respond, but let me just indicate that this is an overview by the minister. Remember, we had an APP closure where there was an engagement. So our report stems from that. It was an overview by the minister on the strategic plan of the GOC. That's how the report came out. It's based on what was presented for us. Engaging and arguing, it can be another matter, but for now we're actually projecting APP report from the department. Is that okay? Okay, sure, Mr. Ma, later. Okay.
Hi.
Any other matters, members, on page 3? Otherwise, then let's go to page 4 of the report. With a hand, Honorable Davis and Honorable Dungeni.
Chairperson, if this is an overview by the minister, then we must just accept it because it's not our overview. Is that right? Because what I'm asking is, I mean, I'm not sure what our role is now, because everything I raise, you're going to say, well, this is what we got from the minister. You see what I mean? But I mean, I don't agree with a lot of things on these pages. So I wouldn't like to see them in a report of the portfolio committee.
I think the complication here, Olaf Davis, is that if I remember, you were not part of the report. It would have been very interesting to engage at that level and started arguing. Yes, of course, we might have things that we need to sort of elevate and start to argue and engage. Definitely this is part of the report of what transpired. Yes, we got a right as the members of this portfolio committee to argue on other issues, etc. But you have to understand where we come from, where we are presenting airport as per transpired in the APPs. Okay, let's take other hands. There's a hand from Honorable Ndongeni, Honorable Zedi, and then Honorable Tikeleji.
Okay, thanks, President. The first paragraph, when you go through on the first paragraph and then you go to the last sentence, I'm sure there's a mistake somehow. Please can correct on that, because say the SAPC has indicated to her that the audience target for 2016 and 17 to 2017 and 18 will not grow. I'm sure there's something wrong.
What is that line, Honorable Member?
The first paragraph in page 4, the last line. If you go with the paragraph and the last line contradicts with it,
the last line with the one that starts with regards to content. Yes. Are you there?
No.
Okay. Which
the SABC.
Yes. Audience share.
has indicated, however, that the audience target for 2016 and 17 to 2017 and 18 will not grow. I'm not quite sure that I'm wrong or what.
Do you want to respond to that, Mr. Malik?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it might be an issue of grammatical issue, but the intention is that, as per the Minister's report, that the audience share will not grow in the SABC. And I think in the best sense, what Honourable Davis was saying, that the contention was that the SABC audience has been declining, but what the Minister has reported was that it's been stagnant over the years. And the statement is just confirming that, so maybe we should rearrange the text so that it says that. Thank you.
That one noted. Can you go to page 5? Just to emphasize that up till 2.5, it was the overview by the Minister. 2.5. Up till 2.5. All right. And then, can we then proceed, Honourable Members, on page 5? We've got, we had ICASA, NGTA, GCIS, and South Africa. Now we are at the DOC strategic plan and APP. But yes, is there other things that members need to raise?
Chair, I just want to confirm if it is indeed correct that the Films and Publication Board is omitted.
No, even if it was not quite a lot, there was not much issues that the Minister raised for stable and so on, because it was just his overview. But I'm sure it's the stability of the entity was actually raised. We do need to insert that. I know that we have captured it in the... Let's get the Films and Publications included as well. It's stable, there were no problems, but it definitely has to also be included. I think it's an omission, Honourable Member, and they for letting us on that. And actually, I don't know if on the report you also have an omission of the GIS. Okay. That's correct, it's only the Films and Publications. Okay. Any other issues? Any other issue? Or Honourable Tikele, your hand has been up, and then we'll follow Honourable Tikele.
Just take your back a little bit, but I think we're forgetting our hands. We had our hands up when Member Davis was raising an issue about the report, and it was one. But at the end, we have to adopt the report, and he says he's not agreeing with most of the things in the report. So I wanted to check if we are not giving the report to go through it and maybe identify issues that we think should be, addressed appropriately. So to move as one towards the end of the report that we are supposed to adopt. But if Member Davis says he's not happy about many things here or about the problem, can we try to sort it out?
Well, I think we engaged that, of course there'll be issues that you raise. You might raise this, might raise that, but the fact of the matter is that it would have been good to engage with a number of other things on the process, but Honourable Dean was not there. But you can also, if you feel that you want clarity or you feel it's okay to raise it, it's not a problem. Can I proceed to other members? I'll end up with Honourable Davis. Honourable Dean.
I think that's the issue that I wanted to raise earlier. Because my that I had a bit of some reservations earlier, because I had thought what matters most at our level is what is it that we are recommending as the protocol committee as the way forward. So earlier on I had a bit of reservations with the approach that we're following. Because what is key is what is it that we want to see as the protocol going forward. So I'm saying if there are issues which were like raised in that meeting, with people are not necessarily doing, but what is it that at the end of the day we are recommending which will then be able to assist in correcting some of the issues. So I thought we'll then go through gradually, entirely assist us to go straight to the recommendations at the end of the day. Because to me, some of these pages might not necessarily assist us. What is key is what is it that we are recommending in the Protocol Committee.
Okay, but since we are, I understand and agree with you, member, but since we are going to adopt this report, it's procedural that I must take you through page by page, then yes, of course, we would put our attention on recommendations, because those are the guiding proposals in terms of what the committee actually works on. Okay, let me proceed then, because I'm in page 5. Can we go to page 6 of the report?
Can I just come in on page 5?
I'm
very sorry about that. I mean, obviously, there's a lot that I think we can discuss in the previous section, but under recommendations, but because if that's what the minister says, then that's what the minister says, you know. So that's fine. But on page 5, under BOC's strategic plan, it gets to legislative initiatives. And I've got a bit of a problem with the wording at the bottom of page 5, because it says, on the legislative front, the DOC will amend the Broadcasting Amendment Bill, the Cast Amendment Bill, the MDD, and it says how the DOC will amend these bills. But it's my understanding that actually the government, the executive, doesn't have the power to amend bills. It's only Parliament that can amend bills through the legislative process. So I'm not sure if that's a typographical error or it's something else, but I just think we need to be quite clear that the department itself cannot amend legislation because the department is part of the executive. That's the first thing I wanted to raise on that score. The second thing is, it's hard for us to really consider this without knowing what these amendments will be. And we've had no real indications of what these amendments will be at this stage. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sure on that one, on the legislative front, do you still amend the bill? Would rather they to undergo a process of amending bills. A number of other bills, Honourable Davis, were saying that there will be a need for the amendments. And of course, we'll take the process once it's brought to us. So yes, of course, there are areas where we've got a lot of amending that we have to do. They did report to us that they're going to engage us on ICASA or whatever. So yes, let's correctly put it as we'll undergo a process of amending. They've actually stated to Biden, we're now aware that there's a whole list of the bills that will be amended that will come our way. But procedurally and correctly in the process, within the process of amendment that you actually identify. Yes, so we're taking on board that to sort of put it correctly. Can we then go to page 6? And page 7? Page 8 and 9. If there's nothing there, let's then move to page 10 and page 11. Page 12 and page 13. From 5.1 there we've got budget allocation per program, and we've got all the programs, program 1.1.1, that's program 1 of administration, 1.1.1.2. It relates largely to the purpose of the program. It's just the programs, if you look at them, outlining the programs. Here it's on to strategic leadership and government communication, etc. There is development of communications through mediated and mediated communication channels, etc., etc. So those are the programs that for the entire page until the expenditure trend now. That takes us to page 14. Page 15, that's the cassa allocation, the cassa allocation there. 5.2, if there is nothing on 5.2, can go to 5.2.1, expenditure trends in cassa, page 16. If there's nothing there, we can then proceed to 5.3, SAPC, that's page 17. Do you want to just read something to appear at the social? Yeah, can you do that? Yeah, Mr. Malika wants to clarify the 8.9 billion. That's your word.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just wanted to warn the honorable members about the issue of the 8.9 billion. That it's not actually the entire allocation from government, and it's within the context of how the SAPC receives other funding from other sources. So there's a paragraph missing here that we omitted by mistake, but we will insert it. That will just explain the actual allocation of the SAPC from government. Thank you, Chair.
From government.
Apologies, Chair. This is the actual money that they receive from the various entities. The actual allocation.
Yeah, but the paragraph that was looking in talks to the actual allocation from government.
Yes, yes. We have captured it in one of the graphs, but we just didn't put it as an arrangement on the other. It's on page 11, and it says that they receive 204.9 million.
Okay.
So that's the paragraph.
So long as members know exactly what is that talking.
Absolutely. Thank you,
Chair. Okay. Thank you, then. Can we move to the expenditure funds of the SAPC, still page 17? And if there's nothing, we can then go to 19, if members have gone through page 18, which still relates to SAPC. If there's nothing there, 5.4 is MDGA. And 5.4.1 is the expenditure trend of MDGA. If there's nothing on the page, we can look at page 20 and 21. The bottom of page 21 starts with rent South Africa, that's 5.5. And it proceeds to page 22. Then on page 22, those are the trends in rent South Africa, expenditure trends. Up till page 23. 5.6 we've got films and publications board. 24. And the trends there at 5.6.1, the trends for films and publications board. Getting to the actual page 25. Okay, can we then go through the observations and recommendations, the committee noted the progress made to ensure that the department and its entities work in unison, that is bringing together the department. And then with concern that government only provides 2% of the... Oh, sorry. Is this for the first?
No.
Okay. Honourable David.
Thank you, Chair. Is it really true that the department and its entities are working in unison? Because all the indications are that the opposite is the case. We know that there have been turf wars over which entities would report to which minister, and they raged for about 6 or 7 months last year. And recently there's been turf wars over who controls digital migration. So it seems that these departments are not working in unison, and I would just like to get some other comments from other committee members on that point. Because we mustn't say things that we don't believe.
Honourable members, anyone wants to speak on the matter? Honourable Sadie?
It could be just a matter of the wording and its interpretation. And that does not necessarily mean it means on the day in question. That was the observation of the committee. It might have been different on the case of Honourable Davis on the particular day. But my take is that that is what we noted on that particular day while we were noting, while we were receiving reports from the various entities.
I believe that is properly captured, Honourable Sadie. That's observation. Firstly, the department were divided, and then we started to realize that started to synergize. That's why they went to unison, because now it started to, you could feel, even saw the presentation, the discussion, that they are starting to work together. So the matter relates to the department alone. Can I just emphasize it relates to the department? Okay, it is, we are talking of the department in this instance, you know, together with the entities. How do they work? Because we have to observe, we are overseeing the Department of Communication, and our interest is to see if they have been consolidated, they are working together, and we have realized that that community is already there. Okay? Can I then move to the next point? Is we concern that government only provides 2% of SABC funding, although it is a public broadcaster, meaning that you have noted with concern that government only provides 2% of SABC funding, although it is a public broadcaster, so meaning that that percentage, you remember we engaged thoroughly in terms of 2% and so on, there was a discussion around it. This requires a review process to ensure the public broadcaster mandate, broadcasting mandate of the SABC is not compromised. I'm sure that it was one of the interesting discussions that we had. That's the other issue. Honourable Davis?
Chairperson, I think that the problem with that for me is that implicit in that bullet point is the idea that all of the SABC's problems stem from lack of funding. When, to my mind, if I look at the SABC, its problems stem from very bad management. And I don't believe that it's a problem of lack of funding. I believe it's a problem that, you know, if you look at the SABC and the salary escalations and the way it manages its own money, that is the problem. It's not the source of the funding, it's the way that the funding is managed. So I believe that a review process, if there is one, it should include a review process of the management of the SABC and how it manages its money, rather than just the source of that money.
Any other item on this one? Well, of course, we did engage thoroughly on this matter on the day, and of course, here is related to the issue of do we want to retain the 2% as a portfolio committee of funding of the SABC. Remember that, unfortunately for us, we are going to remain with this oversight and hand it over to those that will be coming 5 years after year. So in other words, we need to look at it, you know, we need to have a broader view rather than just a you know, a narrow interest in terms of, we can also, those the issues of management, we'll look into them. That's why we're actually doing oversight. It's our responsibility that we're talking to the issue of the 2% and we believe that it will compromise the SABC.
So if that is the understanding, so it means the last part of that work should then be taken to recommendations, if that was, that's what I was saying.
The last part?
Yeah.
This requires a review?
Yeah.
Okay.
It might be with a bit of some claim, but that is what we are then recommending going forward.
Okay. So recommendation and
we have noted the first part, yes, but that one will form part of the recommendation going forward. Of course with a bit of some inhibition from the table.
Thanks, Honorable CD, it will be allocated in the recommendation. In other words, now you remember that we've got observations and recommendations. What Honorable said is moving now is to concretize our recommendations in accordance, and therefore that stands as one of the recommendations concretely. Can we move to the next bullet point that says that we also noted that the strategic plan of the MDGA and its APP has not been approved by the board. Just to remind members that, remember we're undergoing the appointment of, or the board was not operating at the time. So normally, the normal process, if you've got a board as an entity, the board is the one that has to start approving that before it's sent to the minister. So due to the fact that there's still vacancies that the portfolio committee was still dealing with, it therefore had to just go straight to the minister and to us based on the fact that we're not correcting at that point as the board. So that's also part of the recommendation which recommend that the issue of MDDA, okay, because this also MDDA talked about, let me just pause there. Can I proceed, members, to the next point, Honorable Van Southwick?
Thank you, Chair. I would like, I'm agreeing with the point, it's just that I want to restructure the sentence in the following manner. That a strategic plan and APP of MDA had not been approved by the board. Thank you.
Thanks. The correction and taken on board, Honourable Member. Okay, let's then proceed to the next bullet, which says, noted the absence of a quorum of the MDD board and the direct impact it has on their performance and deliverables, as well as the feeling of vacancies in the executive. It goes along with the explanation that was made earlier on. Remember, members, that we even called MDPA for a specific presentation because it was starting to shake and we were seeing all these cracks, but also noting that we also have responsibility as the portfolio committee to deal with it. We then took a joint responsibility. That's why we said even when we were on constituents to deal with the MDDA appointment. The next bullet, which talks to the speed, I'm sure we'll just name, we will have to properly name the bullets rather than dot them. So it's part of what we're going to correct. The speed with which the structure of the MDDA collapsed and the subsequent challenge faced by the agency. So in that, that's what we noted, that you know, it was one of the best institutions. It's always getting clean audits and so on. But you know, it's just quickly, there was exigence of executive and so on. At the moment, it's not well spending. It was too quick, you know, which related to the issues of capacity building, generate capacity, you know, not only on top, but we have the steps of capacity. So part of it, that's what we have observed. Possibly we need to move further and indicate that which means that there is a commendation, there is a need for consistent capacity development. Once we build an entity, we need layers of capacity development so that we don't see this collapse. We can put it properly and correctly, but as part of the recommendation, it's important. Members will remember once we went for oversight, we noticed that, and we realized that, you know, even from the audit side, if a person who deals with audit now can leave, it means SDA won't have a capacity because there is no layer beneath. So it's one of the issues that we need to, as a recommendation, the building of a layer of capacity. I'm sure all entities of government should deal with that, you know, so that you don't have to see a collapse when one person goes and the entire structure falls. Okay. Can we then proceed, Honorable Franz Kalvik?
Thank you, Chair. On that point, I would like to propose that the sentence should be restructured as follows, that the high speed or the fast speed with which the structure of MDDA collapsed, because in current fashion that it stated, then he did it for someone who doesn't know or have the explanation as you explained it now, wouldn't understand it properly. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks, Honorable Consultant. The sentence should be structured in that balanced way that actually makes sense. Okay. Can we then proceed to the next bullet, which talks to the Brand South Africa? We know that this concern that Brand South Africa only had staff in three countries, that is in UK, China, and United States, and no office in an African country or in the African continent. It should be a continent, that one, rather than a country. Yeah, and no office in the African continent. And welcome the Isanat bullet now. And welcome to the minister. Welcome the proposal by the minister to legislate the mandate of Brand South Africa, and also cut the number of trustees to a reasonable number. I'm sure also that one needs to properly structure it, right? Not to cut, but to put a proper wording there. You know, because when we talk to the trustees, are the minister said they are too many in number. But the issue is that we agree that it needs to be structured in a proper manner that can make sense. For example, it is a trustee in other countries, they don't accept that a structure such as a trustee can sit there and facilitate and engage. It's not recognized. So we're actually saying it needs to be structured. Those are some of the things that the minister is going to be, they're going to be sent to the portfolio committee. It's part of the legislation process that we need to legislate it properly. We need to legislate it properly in such a way that it actually spends its mandate. Okay, Honorable Davis?
Thank you, Chair. Just to draw attention to page 5. Under Brand South Africa 2.5 on page 5, it says, it was agreed that there was a need to requisition the Brand SA to enable us to do more branding locally and within the African continent. So I find this slightly confusing, because why are we concerned that it only has staff in three countries if the whole point is to reposition Brand South Africa locally? Do you see what I mean? Why are we saying that we don't agree with the department, that it needs to be repositioned locally, and that it needs more overseas offices? Do you see what I mean? There seems to be a contradiction there. You know, when it comes to the African continent, these things do work, because it says we need to do more branding within the African continent, and this says that there's no offices in the African country, and I agree with that. But I'm just not quite sure why we are saying that we need more staff in more countries, if the whole point is to reposition the Brand SA to be more local. Do you see what I mean? There is a contradiction there.
Okay, I don't know if members want to talk to that, but it's not an understanding that it should only be branded locally. We need a balance. It has to be branded broadly. We cannot also leave domestic branding. We need a balance, but probably we're talking to that balance on the data. I agree if it's not balanced that way. But we cannot brand internationally and outside the country and forget ourselves. So it must be that balance. Of course, it does happen that sometimes find that even in the country there is a need for that, and therefore we actually have to talk to the balance in branding. Okay. Yeah,
I happen to agree with this recommendation. I'm just not sure it fits in as what the department envisages for itself. I mean, I do think that, you know, Brand Slavica needs to be an outward-looking organization, not an inward-looking organization. Because, you know, my other concern really is just about where the money's going to come from, because it already spends 171 million rand of public money. And, you know, if we put an office in every single country, I don't know how where the money's going to come from. And there's never really, we've never really had a good indication from Brand South Africa, even though we've asked them so many times, what is the return on the investment? They can never really present anything tangible. So, you know, I'm worried about this budget getting out of control if we start recommending that we need more offices in more countries. Although if we do that, I do agree that we should choose African countries.
Okay, Honorable Lee?
I thought that bulletin talks to the situation as it is for now. That is what we have noted. And what we want to see going forward will then be a recommendation. And already I think you were spoken to say that we want it to be branded both locally and outside the country. I think that was as a recommendation. I think I've taken note of it, and I thought of then bringing it when it comes to recommendation. But for now, that bulletin, it's well placed in that it is the situation as it is now. That is what we have noticed. So the rest of the sub will come to the recommendations.
Yeah, because actually, I'm just doing it again, it doesn't say, there's nothing that says all African countries. But the concern is that there's nothing in the African continent at the moment. That's what we're actually explaining. They're not saying that each and every... You know what? When it's going to be branded, possibly we'll talk to that, like, on the daily say, what is it that we actually recommend? Because what is going to happen is that we need a situation where even the budget talks to the branding, just have to be balanced, both for the domestic branding and the international and African continent branding. It might not, there's nothing that says one office per country. Possibly they might still use the region, but once they come and put a recommendation as a portfolio committee, we will look into, is it sound, and do we think, because we have to also engage, do we think that will brand the country? But the issue here is the branding of the country. And also, the difficulty is that really the structure is unmarketable the way it is. It creates complications in other countries. It's unworkable. So they want to bring a workable structure. So maybe part of our recommendation, then, which we will talk to each one we deal with that, is to look at a balanced structure that will definitely do deal with that trust. Honourable members, I'm moving to the next bullet point.
Okay.
Well, now we are dealing left with the recommendations. Okay, honourable members, let's get into the recommendations and then it's commended, it's still not recommendations, Tebos is actually correcting me here. The minister's presence throughout the MTBR process has this assisted the minister's effort to position the department as a collective unit. Honorable Davis, anyone?
No, I heard. I'm just not quite sure what this means when it says the minister's presence throughout the budget, medium-term budget review process. Does that mean before the committee? Well, it's just quite vague. I'm just not quite sure what means by the minister's presence throughout the medium-term budget review process. Does it mean the minister was here before the committee? What do we mean by presence? Can you just clarify that for me, please?
Well, yeah, I'm sure it says I don't know whether it was necessary, you know, versus it's actually the ASTAS, but we actually, it was, it made it better, you know, Honorable Davis always have this problem. If the minister is not around, we are unable to get a political response. So he was she was present throughout, from the beginning up till to the end, which sometimes is difficult from, you know, other, yes, other ministers. So we thought, yeah, we need something of that nature. And we were, in fact, we're encouraging her to take the budget the same way. If it can happen that way, all our APTs, it makes our life easier. But she accounts, you know, we know that she's the executive, we have to account to us. Honorable Davis?
Chairperson, I'm just a little bit worried about commending a minister just for doing her job, because it really is the, it's one of the most basic parts of her job. If you give her a pat on the back for doing those things, I just wonder, I don't know, it's hitting the bar very, very low, you know. I mean, isn't that just her job? I mean, she just turned up, you know. It's like, I don't understand why you commend someone just for doing their, you know, the very basic elements of their job. I mean, surely we need to set a much higher standard for the minister than that.
But you know, David, really? No, well, of course, I do have an opinion that once a person does their task, it's a task, you know, or it's his task. What is wrong with also appreciating it, right? Honorable Sadie?
I think you have a point. I think you have a point. And I think the secretariat must then be able to assist us in that regard. Because what we are dealing with is what transpired on that particular day. Question. Is that what the committee objects? Is that what the committee said that we commend the minister for a presence throughout the whole process? If that is what happened, there is no room, there is no way we can amend it at this level. Because what we are dealing with here is what transpired on the day in question. So if you want to contest it, I will appreciate it. If you have contested it on the day in question while we were committing, because seemingly it was, there was an overall impression to say we appreciate their presence.
You really helped me, Honorable. It is true. It's the observation of what was happening. I remember. We actually commented, you know, it was on the same day. They were sitting in NCOP again. She doubled up. She actually went to NCOP, did whatever she then came back.
I think that was the overall impression.
Yes, she definitely, it was just amazing. Went into another room, addressed NCOP, finished, came back, caught up also with some other issues, because we packed other issues, we knew that she was coming back. That she, you know, yeah, well, it was just, it's just terrible when the EAs are there, you know, and definitely that's what happened. And we did comment, that, yeah, that was well done. So, yes, it's tough just the report, it's still Honorable David.
Okay, but from what I'm understanding is you did commend her for her presence on the day, but now you're regretting doing that.
No.
Is that right?
Not at all. You actually made us start doubting if we should come in and bring it back. It's correct. Okay. There are hands, honorable members, honorable Totesi, get it.
Yeah, citizen cannot only complain when minister not come to meeting and not you know say something when they do turn up and be there throughout. You know they have a very tight schedule. It is true, Obijay said you cannot put the fish for swim. It is in its nature that for it to survive it must swim. But this one go an extra mile and say keep it up, sustain the good practice. I've been given a tight schedule like citizen.
Yes, thanks a lot, Honorable Pascalvic.
Thank you, Chair. I think what needs to be noted in that point is not only did the minister grace the committee with a presence, but the active participation during the whole process needs to be commended. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks. And also, it links with that issue when you see the unison. That's where it came. You know, we realize that they said as entities. I'm sure they went to strategic planning for some things and started to align. So you could feel that there was an alignment, you know, because the minister was also part of the process. They actually said it. So it means they took the process very, very serious. They planned, they aligned things. They were all now speaking, you know, when the entity says this. You know, when the minister opened and said this, the entity took that matter forward. So, yeah, that was it. Okay, it's passed that.
Kristen, I just want to register our objection because, you know, we really think that ministers must hold themselves to a much higher standard. I mean, when you use words like she graced us with her presence as if she was doing us a favor, it's her job. She accounts to Parliament. You know, we can't commend somebody. It's like commending me for waking up in the morning. You know, it's just something that I have to do, or breathing oxygen. You know, so I would just like to commend the minister just for doing the very, very basics of her job. And if we set that kind of precedent, then I just wonder, you know, how we can measure the minister's performance going forward if we think that it's so fantastic that she was just doing her job.
Okay, Honourable Members, we're right to object to Honourable Davis. We are right to it's a report here. That's exactly what happened. So if you put it in a report, so we try to clarify that that's exactly what happened. So I really never thought that Honourable would like to go on for so long. We report what we said, really, honestly. Can we then go to another matter? Can we then look into ICASA, what of the SABC, that the committee commended the SABC for the 1 billion that it had in its savings and expressed confidence in the leadership of the minister? Honourable Davis.
Okay, Chairperson, I have a really big problem with this. Now, where do I start? No, I'm not going to leave it. I'm afraid I can't do that. I have an obligation to the citizens of this country to not just leave it. You know, there's a big danger. You know, this committee has shown, as we said earlier in our subcommittee, we show South Africa that this committee is doing the work as a collective, and we are doing things based not on party affiliation, but based on what is right. And you know, we can't allow a report that paints such a rosy picture of what the minister is doing, what the SABC is doing, because if we do that, we will be failing the citizens of this country, and we'll be failing our constitutional obligation to hold the minister to account and all the entities that fall under the department. Now, if you look at this report, it says nothing about a number of very, very contentious issues that we're actually dealing with as a committee. And if they don't come through in this report, it's almost like a parallel universe, because we're busy dealing with a lot of these things, but yet they're not in this report. And I'll give you some examples. One is the number of board vacancies at the SABC. The SABC now doesn't have a quorum because of all of these vacancies. And the reason why some of these vacancies have arisen is because of ministerial interference in the board, which we submit is unlawful. And we're currently getting a legal opinion on this. So I don't know how we can commend her for her leadership and the confidence in her leadership when we're also seeking a legal opinion on whether or not what she's done is lawful when it comes to the SABC. We can't ignore the public protection report in Saudi Mutuneng, which still has not been implemented. We cannot ignore the outcome of a court case which ordered his suspension and all of the ramifications that has had on the public broadcaster. And we cannot ignore certain controversial decisions, the editorial decisions that the SABC has taken, where it very much strengthens the perception that one party is being favoured over other parties. And I use as an example an opposition party congress that happened this weekend. What I'm trying to say, I've got lots of other examples, but I don't want to go on and on because I really could go on for a long time. I just don't believe we can paint such a rosy picture of the SABC and the minister's involvement in the SABC. If we do that, we will really be failing in our duty as parliamentarians, and we will be undoing a lot of the good work that we have done at a committee. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe before you let me allow you, Honourable Davis, I needed to indicate that, you see, the unfortunate part, I wish you were there, Honourable Davis, because I just wish that Honourable Rose was here, because he's one of the people who also commended SABC strongly in terms of the fairness, the good work, you know, in that meeting, you know, where he actually said, for now on, he knows that he's a public broadcaster that represents everyone else. So, actually, you see, the difficulty is that protecting what has been captured from the part of the report. And possibly those are the things that... May let me hear other members so that we can then comment on this matter.
I wanted to approach it from a different angle first. Firstly, in the sense that our colleagues went through the leadership of the SNBC itself, not necessarily the minister, in terms of the 1 billion. But I think that's one other part which was not properly captured there. We had thought, even at the level of leadership, we hit with 1 billion savings as captured there. But secondly, on the issues that Honorable Davis raised, as part of the recommendations, Honorable Davis to still raise some of these issues going forward, and was then able to convince us again to capture them as the recommendations of the entire portfolio committee going to Parliament. I don't know if I'm assisting him. I'm saying some of the issues that he's raising, they might be fair, very good issues that might assist us to take the SABC to another level going forward. As we come to recommendations, read those issues and convince us here, so that we must end up capturing them here as part of the report that is going to Parliament.
Yes, so the recommendations.
Yes. But I must insist, he must convince us to capture some of those issues when come to the recommendation.
Okay, let me take Honorable Ketani first and then we'll come Honorable Davis.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'm not feeling well, but I just want to clarify a few things. And as you highlighted, Sam, you may say, where sometimes we are in the council and dealing us in such meetings, dealing with issues, it doesn't go with feelings. It goes with the facts. And what Honorable Davis is saying, he is simply saying to us who attended that meeting that you have never thought straight. You were not thinking that. And you are right to recommend, to even highlight that. In fact, not only those. In that meeting, all of us. And as he is saying that we must do things as a unified structure, we all did it. Madisha from whom, those from ESF, ourselves from ANC, who is the whole committee, we praised them. And not because of we liked their smile. It's because of they were saying to us, this is what we have done. And according to the report, we saw that they have done good. Why we are saying that they have done good? In that meeting, there was no discussion of public protector as report. So you can't say that in this recommendation, you were not done well because of there are certain issues. Then you go to 10 years back when Tamundek was ruling this count to say that, but here you have never done this. Public report is another thing. It was not even part of that meeting. And whatever he raised, all of them, they are not part of that meeting. It will meet its own forum to say that here is the public report, here is the DA issue with the court, not trusting the parliament that it can deal with issues. So that what we can do? That's one advice and a warning, maybe, is that we have requested several times, and if not more than 10 times, requesting Honorable Davis to refrain from talking about the issue of SABC because it's subject to say, and it was done by them. Can you hear?
We shouldn't do this, Honorable Sunday. When a member is talking, even if we are not agreeing, but let's just be procedural. Wait for him and then you get your turn.
We started to speak to Davis appealed to him many times. He knows. He knows we've got millions. I'm not talking about something that is not militant. We've got millions of more than 10 times meetings. Starting from when we were dealing with the issue of Ellen Tavan. We want him to say that stop talking about this thing. The day this thing is out of the court is when this committee will talk about it. And we've got, Chen, through you, I've got confidence that we can deal with that matter without any disturbance. And we have dealt with big matters, more than that one of thousands. You remember that in the official complainant of Ellen Samulala was him. And we took it as a fact, not as a political issue, as a fact. And we dealt with it. And now he came there and undermined the same portfolio committee, ran to the court. When he was supposed to come here and say that, what are you saying about this issue? Then we will be able to say that, ladies, let's sit down and talk about this. Mm-hmm. Honorable ladies, my apologies. Honorable ladies, come here, we talk about this matter and resolve it. For sure, today we will not be talking about the trial issue. If, yes, then that. So let me repeat. I'm appealing to ladies to refrain from talking about the SABC issue, particularly how we issue. Then the fact. In that day we were talking about the performance of SABC, particularly when the issue of money, to the issue of management, how they handle their functions, then that's all. That's why all of us, we congratulated them. And I'm saying that maybe the little corrections that I can do. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Kagane. Honorable Davis, followed by Honorable Van Dijk and Honorable Zubdits.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not quite sure what the purpose of this session is, actually, because, you know, what is the point if we can't interrogate a report and disagree with it? But we all disagree with it. Because, you know, isn't the whole point to deliberate on it and to come out with something on the other side, with something that we can all accept? And it seems that there's no willingness in this room to reach consensus on this. I'm raising issues with a view to reaching some kind of consensus so that the final report that this committee tables is something that actually reflects how we really feel, not how a few people felt on a particular day. Because it's much bigger than that. You know, this is about issues that this committee has been dealing with over the last year. And it's not just about the court case, by the way. And I'm not going to get into the argument about sub judice and all of that stuff here. But there's lots of other issues. There's the memorandum of incorporation. There's the interference with the SABC board by the minister. There is allegations that, in fact, instead of savings having been made, there's huge losses at the SABC that have come to light. So if you want to paint the SABC as this kind of great organization with everything going perfectly, then I really do despair, because it is not the truth. And we can't present something that is not the truth.
Okay, Honorable Sandek, do you want me to comment before you come in? Because I just need to say that the difficulty is that you are presenting a report from what happened. That's why you always get if there's a contradiction. It's a report and I've made examples of how members protested. This is what happened. It's unfortunate, Honorable Davis, you're not there. I thought now we're getting somewhere by saying that possibly one should come to a recommendation and raise the matters. Let's see if we recommend what it's us now. You know, it's different from putting out a report. We can't change and say it was said differently, you know, and say, no, it should be said this way. Unfortunately, we had to capture what excited the members on that day in terms of the issues they were raising. We capture what has happened. Maybe, can I take Honorable Van Dijk and Honorable Zotis and get back to you, Honorable Day?
Chair, I just want to say, I didn't congratulate the SABC on that specific day. I specifically said that the SABC should get their house in order, and I also referred to the consultants, the documents that we received. Every page stated that this is still in process, the consultants, and we will get the results at a later stage. So nothing of the SABC in any case was discussed like
pull the boat and etc. That we were given that document, and it really didn't so much, because if you go through that, it will, you will see that on every page it says consultants are still busy. And also afterwards now with the document or the news, what we read in the news about the presentation that we received from the minister, it's about the 19 billion or the million rand that will be there will be a it will raise, or there will be it doesn't seem that the information that we received were correct, the financial so we would like to get clarity on that, because who do we believe, Claudia or the newspapers?
Was also not in that meeting on the particular day, but I watched the proceedings live, and I heard members, you know, saying the buildings about the improvement in the SABC, and without taking some of praise for the SABC, but if something right or something good has been done, we should say so, as much as we say if things are not okay. And I can imagine a situation whereby you're in the meeting, and the day you come back, we have to, you know, matter or entertain the first one person. And I mean, the fact that we're dealing with the report here doesn't mean it's the end of deliberations in the committee. And the standard practice is that if we come to recommendations and our members who feel that they need to add something, exactly what the Ombudsman is saying, that we should deliberate on that and reach a resolution, whether we add them or maybe we pass them for a future deliberation. And we know the principle of minority view being binding to those members who are not part of the committee. Do not agree what has been done when we are not in the committee. And we should wait for the opportunity when we deliberate in future on outstanding issues, then we can echo our different sentiments. Thank you.
You know, if we were to write minutes or a report on the basis of each and everything members say in a meeting, then we wouldn't be sitting with a 27-page document here, like what we have before us. All I'm saying is that there are members who on that particular day might have raised issues. We did not necessarily get the necessary support in that meeting. So it will be wrong if we were to say honorable member raised this particular issue. If that issue did not necessarily receive support from the rest of the members, it can't be captured here. You don't write reports on members on the basis of what each and every member said in a meeting. You write reports on the basis of what the majority of members were saying in that particular meeting. That's all right, minute and reports. So to me, we are writing this report on the basis of what the majority of the members of parliament were saying on the day in question. So some other thing, Honorable Van Dijk, for example, you might have raised the issue. If that issue did not necessarily get the necessary support from the other members, it can't form part of this report. Thanks.
Honorable Davis, yes. And Honorable Kitten.
Thank you, Chairperson. I must say, I thought that we were dealing with a report, but it seems from the comments in the room that we are dealing with minutes. And there's a very big difference between a report of the committee and the minutes of what happened on a particular day. Now, I don't know why we are deliberating on minutes, because that's how you seem to be presenting it. This is just we've just captured what was said on a particular day, and it's frozen in time, and the committee can never change its mind, and we have to be bound by whatever was said in the moment on that day. And I don't believe that that's what this report is. This report is something that we can add to, we can subtract to, we can discuss, we can deliberate until we have something. But we
are well, read the report.
Can you please protect me?
So I agree, if he's got issues, he must raise them as part of the recommendations, and he must then be able to convince us when we come to recommendations.
No, because I didn't want to interject Honorable Davis, I think it's not right to say we're dealing with minutes. It's completely, you're actually taking your own focus. Nobody said we're dealing with minutes, but nonetheless, I wanted you to make your point, still emphasizing that if this is what transpired on that day,
Well, it's unfortunate, Honorable Davis, we couldn't put you into that meeting if you're not there. That's exactly what happened in the meeting. I'm actually giving practical examples of what members are saying, you know, and that is why I wish if Honorable Ben Rose was here would also confirm, because he was part of the people who actually recommended SABC. So we have to capture what has happened, unfortunately. We need to capture that spirit. That's why Honorable Davis insisted that possibly once it comes to recommendations, let's put our matter. So I thought maybe we can have that kind of a progress where we can then say on recommendations, what are the issues that we want to deal with as a portfolio committee. Honorable Davis, proceed. So to interject to you, just said to say.
I'm just not quite sure of how valuable this session is today. Because what we're essentially doing is saying, well, this was said on a particular day, and it's recorded by the secretariat at that, and we only choose, I don't know who gets to decide, by the way, on what should go in here and what shouldn't go in here. Because, you know, Honorable Pandey, for example, has said a few things that she didn't agree with on the day, so it's not quite clear who gets to decide what goes in here. But anyway, the point is, why are we sitting here if everything was frozen in time on that particular day and we're not allowed to interrogate it or discuss it with a view to strengthening this report? See, that's my concern. You know, we want a good report. We want a report that we can all be proud of. You know, if you say that, you know, what if everybody was having a bad day on that particular day? It seems like it to me, in fact, because you've missed a lot of issues on that day. But anyway, you said that we can now deal with some of these things when it gets to the recommendations. But I see it says the committee recommended in past tense. Now, I know if I suggest new recommendations, you're going to say to me, oh, no, but you weren't there on that day, and this is what was recommended on that day, and therefore I'm not allowed to suggest new recommendations. So basically everything in this report, Chairperson, is in the past tense. You know, we couldn't interrogate what the minister said, we couldn't interrogate how the committee commended the minister, and I'm pretty sure you're not going to let me interrogate the recommendation either. So I'm really not sure what the point is of this meeting.
We are dealing with the report. It reports what happened during the process of the APP. Honourable members, I don't want to emphasize. Can we progress on this matter? Honourable Kekan.
Chair, you covered me. Can I reserve my comments?
Very much. Yeah. Honourable members, I think these members are not part of the meeting. It's not our problem, frankly. You know, because possibly they could have argued and decided. We can't then report that, you know, we can't report this simply because the member was not there, who doesn't want us to report the same way as things happened. That's completely unfair. That is why we're opening up a space for a recommendation where we're going to then say, after interrogating this report as the portfolio committee, this is how we're moving forward. You know, I really wish that we can have a progress once we're discussing. Of course, you cannot say, if the report of 7 members who say one thing, you only take what one member says. What kind of report would be that one? You know, you'll find that most people are coming this way. I mean, I was part of that meeting. I was listening to members. It's exactly what was part in that meeting. So it is a report. I can't say they've reported wrong. There's nothing wrong with that has been done. It is precisely the report we're moving forward now. Can we then proceed on other issues? We'll come to the space of the recommendation. Here it says that did we do this one? All right, let me take it. The ICASA revised strategic goals from 8 to 3, as this will allow the regulator to be more effective and focused. Of course, I think we need to properly sentence our issues in the way that the ICASA revised. I know that it stems from the committee recommended. We rather say that ICASA revised strategic goals. The committee commended ICASA. That ICASA revised strategic goals from 8 to 3, as this. Maybe let's just remove the S and then say this will allow the regulator to be more effective and focused. So he had 8, right? All over the 8. It's still there within the 8, but it's much more synergized in terms of this. By Honorable Davis.
Chairperson, you know, I don't agree with this, and now you're just going to tell me that I can't disagree because I happen to not be at a meeting. I mean, you know, this is hugely problematic, you know, because it doesn't make sense that just because you revise your strategic goals from 8 to 3, that you'll be more effective and focused. In fact, you're going to be less effective and less focused because now you've got three very, very broad objectives, and I'll name them. Promote effective competition, promote a digital agenda, and improve stakeholder and consumer experience. Now, these are such broad strategic goals, they will do exactly the opposite. They're not going to focus your cost, so they're going to make it even less focused. So it's completely illogical to think otherwise. So I just completely disagree with this.
You either take it to the recommendations, what you tell us, what you recommend if for us to capture, or else then it will be a disagreement on your side. Can we then, but it's captured that way for now. So when you go to recommendations, you can bring those aspects that you're raising, or then you can just disagree.
Can we then move
on to the next matter? It is the committee recommended that the minister should we'll shape our recommendations and add also those that you talk about. We'll just have an engagement here. Can I open it up? The recommendation is that the report back to the committee on progress made in the signing of the cooperation charter with the entities of the department. Why is it two dots? Provide, because it was not supposed to be another dot. So, honorable members, provide a regular update on the status of the vacancies. Oh, yes. Okay, this obviously the sentence needs to be structured properly, the first one. That report back to the, well, actually, the portfolio committee recommended that there must be a feedback report from the minister on the progress, or a report on the signing of the MIC, Memorandum of Incorporation, and the charter. It's two things actually there. It's that issue that we've been discussing that would need the minister to report on. So we'd have to structure it properly. That the portfolio committee, it has to come back. It has to be thoroughly dealt with. So meaning that as much as the minister talked to it, we believe that there should be a process or engage. So meaning that until the time when we engage with that, it's definitely going to be a discussion, a recommendation that comes out from the portfolio committee. How do we take the matter forward? So it's on both the charter and the Memorandum of Incorporation. And of course, as members know, that we have already put that on the program because it cannot just be by the way thing. It's an area that we specifically want to focus on. So we put it properly there. It's one recommendation, honorable members. I'm sure we've got consensus on that one. Can we move to the next one? The other recommendation is to provide a regular update on the status of the vacancy rate and progress in filling the critical post at the MDGH. This was cutting across all the entities. Yeah, and maybe just to talk on this matter, you know, we need that report. I know that Honorable Van Dyke is one of the people who requested to get us an update. We need to get it, I'm sure, just to know that which entity. It's not a big deal. We have to get it. We'll get it, Honorable Van Dyke, where we get across all entities. Because we need to manage, we need to monitor the progress and understand what creates the vacancies. So it's one area that also, but it's quite across the several we're talking of MDA. Can we, yes, can members agree that it was across all other entities? Okay, then let's move again. Provide the committee with reports with timelines on the structure plan. With timelines, Okay, we'll correct that. We've got two timelines. On areas where infrastructure will be deployed by NDGA. Do you want to structure it properly?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think the intent of this sentence was that because the NDA promised to implement infrastructural projects around the country, then the committee has requested that they must come with a structured plan with timelines to present that to the committee on the infrastructure employment activities. Thank you.
Honourable Secretary?
Chairman, can we try to qualify a regular update on the status of the vacancies so that it is inconsistent with this one of the timelines for them to have the collaboration? So that when you see timelines, when you see regular, how regular? The frequency? See quarterly or? Like you see about the timelines here, there must be consistency.
Yeah, meaning that one of the rules should be captured on our quarterly evaluation reports, you know, a bit on a quarterly basis, or we need to find out how far are we moving. Yeah, so we're qualified. So in terms of our oversight, we can even, we're going to do it quarterly. So in other words, that's part of the recommendation we would be looking at all those areas. We have to provide a comprehensive report on all, there must be provision of a comprehensive report on all training activities of the MDA. We've been calling for this for much longer. I think we need to get a proper feedback on it. Provide a report on progress made regarding the digital broadcasting migration in June. It is also in the project. Honorable lady.
Okay. I think it's well captured. Can you take it further as well, even beyond June 25? Can we update it on quarterly basis in terms of implementation, progress on implementation, without necessarily looking at
June 2015. Okay. Yes, that's the decision. Engage the Minister of Finance for funding on the national communication strategy. The minister has the support of the committee in this regard. Yeah, we will put it in really. But what it meant is that, you remember that there was the report which the department has, the contract report, which we realized that it does not have funding. And it's a critical report of government. Where the implementation of that report was, it's a recommendation report. And therefore part of it was that, you know, the way the budget was allocated, we realized that yes, the report is accepted, it will be part of what the department will be driving, but there was no funding allocated to that report. And our worry as the portfolio committee was that it should be, it must have also funds to drive it. Actually, that's what the sentence wanted to say, that if the minister has the support, it's part of, we actually said there must be funding from National Treasury. She also entered that, and we believe that's part of what we agreed should happen. Honorable Zedi?
Yeah. Obviously, if we are agreeing to that the Minister of Finance engaged, it's obvious that the minister has the support. So that part is not necessary, the last part. On all those issues that we are committing, the minister has got our support. So remove that part, the last part.
Okay, but that's only maybe part of what you need to emphasize, Honorable Zedi, is the part of, maybe it was in hindsight. The Minister for Finance sometimes think, you know, the finance department don't think that they can be part of the meetings. And when you look at other legislations and other programs are directly attached to finance, and therefore there will be a time we want to engage him, and it doesn't really fall there. I agree with the handful there, but possibly it was just in hindsight to plug the minister together with that. But surely let's remove that structure this in a way that talks to the support of the work that we have accepted the department must do. Let's come to this other bullet, which reflects last year. Ensure that the recommendation of the communication or that's the compass report are implemented. Yeah, beyond just you know, running it, they're also implemented. They're very important recommendations. I'm sure we also need to call the minister to take us through the Comptas report. You know, BOP is driving it. The implementation is broad in terms of the Comptas report, and therefore we need to get it from the minister. Honourable Davis.
Thank you, Chairperson. You say that the recommendations are very important, but what are they? I mean, that report, to my knowledge, hasn't been released. It hasn't been tabled before this committee, to my knowledge. Is that right?
No.
When was it tabled before the committee?
Well, it's before we were actually seated here. It's an old report. That's why that's the portfolio committee now. We feel the edge that they can't have such an important report and then it's left. Remember, if we went through the legacy report, it's also there. It's kept that. So we've taken over. We can't have government doing such an important work and then it's acknowledged, it's confirmed, it's taken on board and then it doesn't get implemented. So it's stemming from the past. It's a very popular report, it's known. You know, but the problem is that it was never implemented, and if that report can be implemented, any of the problems that we have from within the communication, government's communication and whatever, they can be lessened.
When the minister came into office, she set up a national communications task team. She did. Are you not aware of that?
No, honourable Davis, these are not the same things. It's the one that really... Okay, no, it's because we are interrogating me directly. I need to respond to you there. Okay, let me allow you to speak, but we are...
No, I'm not interrogating you. I'm saying that when the minister came into office, she set up a national communications task team. And to my knowledge, they are working on a report. Now, are we suggesting that, you know, which report are we referring to here? Because I think it needs to be clear. Are we saying that we must ignore the work of the National Task Team? Sorry, Chair, it's hard for me to engage you if you're talking to somebody else.
No, I'm listening to you.
Okay, but it doesn't feel like you're listening to me when you're talking to somebody else. Please, it's just the polite thing to do. Thank you. So let me start again, just in case you didn't hear what I said. Okay? When the minister came into office, she set up a National Communication Task Team. Okay? They are busy with the report, as far as I understand. So this then needs to be clear that this is dealing with a previous report and not that report. Because it would seem from this, when you talk about communications task report, it would seem like it was the current task team's report and not the previous one. So we need to be quite clear which report we are referring to.
Well, firstly, I feel you're bullish the way you want me to react when you speak. Because I can still listen to you when I'm drinking water or something. I'm being bullied here, frankly. But nonetheless, it's okay. I'll try to make sure that I look at you when you speak. Okay. Honourable member, the task team that it's not the task team that was put by the minister. It's something that complies. I don't have a legislation with me. It's something that complies to the legislation. It's a team that it's an advisory board. It's not a task team. It is an advisory body. It's required by the legislation. It's within the Act. So she should do that. Actually, when we called even her to do a presentation on that, it's because we're aware that there was a lack of doing that in the past. But there, it's in the Act. It was supposed to have been put by even previous ministers, and it was not done. And then we therefore needed to find out what we're dealing with in the legality of the existence of the department. And the minister came and indicated how she moved on it. So she started by pronouncing it in some time back before they were clear in terms of the separation of the department. So she clarified, once she started. And that is an advisory team. It's not the Comptas. The Comptas, like I'm saying, it's one report which is very popular in the communication sector, which was drawn, which has very clear recommendations that were never implemented. I still refer the numbers. Go to your legacy report and check it. You will see it's captured properly there. And you would see, because of that, I'm saying, possibly we must call the minister to come and take us through the Comptas report so that we can understand the significance of it. And the issue, that is why when the health department was presenting, my first reaction was to check if Comptas has been thrown out of the window or is it also put within the department in terms of if to be implemented or it is an extremely critical report that the department has to deal with. So they actually assured us it is there, but we realize that once they allocate the money, still that important report was not allocated. It's like you know, it's a coordination of the communication activities in the entire departments, you know, what they work in silos and so on and so on. So let's agree that once because the minister must come and present it again, once it's presented, all members should see the significance of it and why we make a fuss out of it. So COMTASC, it's a COMTASC of 1996 to 97, and it was revised in 2009, so it was revised in the post of those years. It's a communication task team report, recommendations outcome. It started in 1996. Until 1997, and it was revised in 2009 and 2010. And I would encourage members to really familiarize themselves with this. It's very, very critical. Okay. Can we then, Honorable Zedi?
Check. It's on new one. On ICASA, page 4. There's an issue that talks to radio frequency spectra, the very last part of ICASA. And we recommend that ICASA must look closer to the need to ensure effective management of the radio frequency spectra. So it should form part of our recommendations now. Look at this for this.
Yes, it is.
There is a very last part on ICASA that must add to our recommendations. No. Are we on radio frequencies better? And then on page 5, it's on Brand South Africa. That issue that we're talking about, branding internally and within the African continent. Can it be an additional recommendation as well? Yeah, on branding. There's also an issue. You remember, Chair, I think it was MBDA, if I'm not mistaken, that missed the red line for the submission of a banner book. Hey. And that is, I think, it had almost all the entities. Can we then come up with a recommendation and insist that entities stick to the timeline in terms of the submission, the parliamentary, what do you call it? The parliamentary compliance issues in terms of the submissions of relevant documentation, without necessarily saying MDGA. If there is a report that's supposed to come to Parliament by the third of every month, that report must definitely come going forward from all the entities. There is also an issue that talks to the intensification of oversight of entities that we've always been talking about. So my suggestion is, can we come up with a new recommendation on the intensification of oversight by the shareholder of other entities? They need to intensify oversight over the entities by the shareholder as a recommendation. Yeah. So that they might not necessarily be left to be loose without us checking on them from time to time. And then the second last one that I wanted to recommend was, you remember earlier, we spoke about entities that are doing quite well in terms of financial management. We had recommended a forum of all the entities to meet from time to time and learn best practice in terms of how best can those that are doing well assist those that are lagging behind. So it's a recommendation on a forum of entities to share best practice. I don't know how we'll be able to coin it. And the very last critical one is we don't seem to be having enough consequences for non-performance by entities. Can we recommend going forward that there be consequences for non-performance by entities from the side of the shareholder? If an entity says, by the end of this financial year, this is what I'm going to be doing, If that is not done, at least something must happen. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Tsedi. We have captured the physics. Honorable Davis.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to get some clarity on what Honorable Tsedi was saying about intensifying efforts for the shareholder to hold people to account. Does he mean, when you talk about the shareholder, do you mean the minister? Because he did refer to us, we're not the shareholders. So, I'm not sure if you're referring to the minister or the portfolio committee. You said intensify efforts for the shareholder to hold entities to account. But did you refer to us?
No. Isn't that the shareholder compass or something? Whatever. But what I'm saying is, the agreements between the shareholder, in this instance, is the department, the minister, with entities, in terms of what is it they're supposed to be having every quarter, every year. But I'm saying, can we try to exert some more efforts in terms of, it's a monitoring tool of some sort, monitoring mechanisms of some sort, by the minister, because these entities report to the minister. Where we oversight over the entities and the department. I don't know if I'm making sense, but the issue that I'm making is that it's not us who enters into an agreement with the entities. It's the minister who says to Brand South Africa, this is what I want to see happening from Brand South Africa at the end of this financial year. But we are saying, can we exert more efforts in ensuring that these things do happen? I think that's what I'm saying. It's not us.
Are you saying you want more ministerial input? Is that what you're saying?
Can I just try and give my understanding? Because I understand, Honorable Lady, to say that even if we are responsible for oversight, the minister also has an oversight on entities and shouldn't just enough to us. She must also play her part. Yes, he must also do that oversight, because if she's also not doing it, and we, you know, it comes like, we can give an example of MDDA, for instance. The problems of MDDA now were coming straight to the portfolio committee, and it was our worry that now the department has let loose. So if the minister also was aware of the problems of MDDA, we wouldn't come in, because we had to even call a meeting, suspend other things, call a meeting, so that we focus on MDDA. He also has to play a role. Honorable Davis, and I'm coming to Honorable Kesa.
Yeah, but isn't the problem that she's interpreted her role, her oversight role, as an interfering role? Because, you know, that's precisely why we're getting a legal opinion on her interference in the FNPC. So I'm just reluctant to say that she needs to redouble her efforts, because it's precisely the problem is that she's too much oversight, in fact, of the FABC, and probably not enough on other entities, frankly, because all of her efforts seem to be focused in certain strategic entities. But I'm very reluctant to give her a broad mandate to redouble her efforts to increase her oversight, when that's precisely the problem at the FABC, is that she is meddling in the FABC and interfering with it, and that's why we have a board that is not corporate at the moment, and that's why the FABC is not functioning properly, because there's too much ministerial interference, not too little.
Should I go to Lord Rogetan? But actually, is that what they meant? Or you? Yeah, if it's the same, let me allow you to proceed.
Thanks, Chief. I concur with Honorable Zaidi in two things, and that was my belief all the time, that discipline is the first thing that we must promote. Number two, I will humbly request you, Chair, that you check with the legal department to have a session maybe after budget speech. with us in terms of our oversight role, that where do we have enough powers and how. Why I'm saying this is that I don't think that it's just an open role to oversight. There are somewhere whereby the committee itself can take other people to task. But unfortunately, we never been inducted to such extent. That's why most of us in the committee, we are not 100% sure of our role. Then it will depend on whom has read. If you have read enough to understand oversight, then you'll know. And unfortunately, you'll know alone. You'll find that some of us who are still trying to check where we are. I believe that all the entities are under the minister. And the minister is the one that can administratively take decisions to deal with whoever. Like, for example, Honorable Davis. If one supposed to deal with Claudia, it will be the minister again. So that's why I'm saying that if you don't understand the rule, you will have a problem. But if we understand our rule clearly, and you know, oversight is something that is 100% legal. That's why you are all MPs. Your role is to deal with legislation. And if we cannot understand the policy and legislation, we'll have a problem. And what if now, for example, the minister instituted whatever against whoever, and then thereafter that person has been cleared the way in another way, whereby you don't understand, it's questionable. What are you going to do? And as parliament, what are you going to do? What is the relationship between the parliament and the minister? Because we must again understand that as we are here, ministers are part of us, Honorable Davis. And what is our relationship with her? And how can we make her to account and to do what we believe in? You see? So I'm suggesting that for us to have a common understanding, can you check with the legal department to take us through? Because some of us, when we talk here, we do many mistakes whereby tomorrow you'll think that people are not taking you seriously. You'll find that maybe, for example, now Honorable Davis is raising an issue about cloud. Then the minister can say, and then what? Do you want to tell me how to run the department? What are you going to say? So I'm saying that whatever you are doing, you need to have a protection and no exit. I need to know the relationship between us and the minister. Because the person we're supposed to deal with is the minister and the deputy. Is the one that's supposed to attend to us. In fact, but it will be introduced by your chair going forward. In fact, we don't want to see this group of people coming here. The minister and the chair of the executive board and the CEO. These three people is the ones that are accountable here, but the head is the minister. So which means the PAs and CFO, maybe, then it goes to issue ethics, how to make them accountable. Please, just check for us in terms of legislation and other. Or if one left information here, you can come with. We will really appreciate. Thanks.
Yeah, Honourable
Jerry, Honourable Davis. You see, it's an old place. If the minister wants to perform a duties in terms of ensuring that all entities do what they're supposed to do, and Honourable Davis calls it interference, that's something that's unfortunate. But to me, the minister has got the mandate to ensure that entities do what they're supposed to do. If a DG, for example, does something contrary to what the law says, the minister is disciplinary hearing and call it interference. I don't know what I'm talking about. Who else must do it? It can't be up here. We're supposed to hold an executive account as parliament. We're parliament here, we're the portfolio committee, we represent parliament. Ours is to call the minister that we've seen certain things happen in your department. Why are disciplinary processes not happening? Because we see certain things are not happening. There are irregular expenditure and the like. And if you call it interference, it's unfortunate. But to me, that's not interference. She has got a mandate to ensure that all the entities comply with all these legislations and perform in accordance with what has been agreed upon in terms of the compensation. Thanks.
Honourable Davis.
Thank you, Chair. I'm a little bit concerned by what the Honourable Takano is saying, because he's asking you for a legal opinion on our relationship with the minister. Now, there's already a legal opinion on that, and it's called the Constitution of South Africa. And as members of Parliament, we swore to uphold the Constitution of South Africa. And if you haven't read the Constitution, then I'm wondering how you could have sworn to uphold it when you took office. Because it's a big concern to me that you're not familiar with that document. Because that's exactly where it sets out the relationship between the executive and the legislature. And it sets out what oversight means and what it is. So I really suggest that you familiarize yourself with that document before we go forward. That's the first thing. The second thing is that, Honourable Teddy, the law is quite clear about the minister's role at the SABC. It's set out in the Broadcasting Act. And I hope that you've read that act. Because then you'll see exactly what the role of the minister is. And it's not the role of the minister to interfere with the board or to remove board members. That's expressly prohibited in that act, in fact. And that's precisely why we're getting a legal opinion on that. So, I'm not quite sure what you don't understand about ministerial interference versus oversight.
Honourable members, I think the first thing is that the APCs have started. And I would be glad if we were even discussing the core issues that relate to the report and the recommendations. Because actually, in terms of the Constitution, and what we always say in the House is that the members, the ministers must account to us. We always say that we can't change it once it comes to somewhere else. They're the ones who account to us. Actually, all the entities, even ministers, there was no reason that there must be a minister, the entities under that minister. Maybe those entities should have stood on their own. But the fact of the matter is that the Constitution do also say that people who are accountable to us in Parliament are the executive authorities, which is the ministers. Actually, I don't even know what we argue that the minister shouldn't. I hear that argument in the House. I'm not sure. Because the Constitution talks to even the deputy minister. And sometimes it's like the deputy minister shouldn't speak, it must only be the minister. It can be one way in the House we want them to account, but somewhere else we think they're dealing with those entities. The Constitution directs us the same way. They're the ones who must account. If any entity is collapsing, they must tell us why. If we're given a responsibility to oversee that entity and it collapses. But sometimes when we ask an entity directly, they will say it was a political decision. And you'll find that you can't interrogate that political decision. But if it is a minister, the minister must tell us what decision led to the collapse of that entity. That's how it is. And of course, if members do want us to get back to that, we definitely must clear that. But surely, the oversight that we deal with, people that are accountable, you know, I'm sure most members who are chairpersons of the portfolio committee will tell you that once you invite the department, you invite the minister. The minister can then defer it to the deputy minister or defer to the department, to the DG, but it is the minister who comes to us in parliament. The period. You know, you can go to the rules, you can go to the constitution, that's how it comes. So you can call, the minister comes with an entity. So that's what happens. That is why sometimes ministers get surprised if now one entity is in trouble with parliament, but the minister was not even invited to also come and account, because they must account to us. They're the ones who get sworn in, by the way. You know, no one else is sworn in the department besides the deputy minister and the minister. Those are the people who get sworn in. So I think we can't really start saying that do we want the minister or not, but we are unfortunately having a responsibility to deal with the minister. Yes, there are issues where we have the right as well as the portfolio committee. We can call any other person that's the one that doesn't come and account. We can do that, you know, and say you come and account. We don't have to go, we don't have to always call the minister, but she or he's the one who must come to us. Working on, and he or she is the one who must take the brunt if things are not really happening, and just giving that mandate that you are responsible for all these entities. You know, we cannot look for someone else ourselves. We can't call a junior officer and expel a person or reprimand that person, but we can call the executive authority. Honourable members, I think we have really run out of time. Can we round up now? Honourable Sadi, otherwise we'll lose members and we need to finalize the issue of the report.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. What I wanted to say is I'm glad that we will end up being in the same part. What I wanted to say is, yes, basic, we know that the minister must account to us. Then my question is, going back to what Honourable Teddy raised, if things are not going well, what we must do? For example, if now there's this problem with a certain entity and the minister is there and things are falling apart, what are our powers in terms of dealing with the minister? So maybe my fellow Honourable Davis never understood me. For sure he knows that I know constitution of ten rights. I was referring to the issue of the basic and the end. He cannot even interpret exactly what it says. There's an interpretation of constitution, not the way we read, the way it should be implemented. He doesn't understand. Clearly we saw when we were dealing with LF. That was an example. So let us be here to assist each other, not to think that we are superior to or we understand more than others. Let us go together and assist each other. You know why I'm saying that legal opinion is because I need interpretation of how to make ministers to account even when things are worse. Not only when things are good. And then what we should do, you see, is what is needed. That interpretation.
Okay, honourable members, one thing that you are raising, which is critical, what recourse do we have if things are not happening? And, but if we look at the public safety administration, why the monitoring and evaluation ministry was established was in order to tie this leg into the monitoring and evaluation. At first, remember, it was a minister in the presidency. Part of it was that if the minister did not perform, the minister, because it was in the presidency, it's still in the public safety administration, the minister has to report to the president any grievance that you put across, and it needs to go directly to the cabinet. That now will be allowed. I think we do have recourse. We just, you know, it's essential. Sometimes we think that we don't have recourse. I think we need to take the existence of institutions that are put in order to deal with our matters. And monitoring and evaluation, am I wrong? It's established precisely for that. I remember public safety administration, we used to utilize it quite a lot. We may not get into details, we can discuss this matter. But at the moment, honorable members, we're going to say, you're out of time. Let's leave it at that. Can I Can I just then find out, like, are there any additional recommendations members want to put? Because I need to put the report before the portfolio committee on Albert Davis.
Thank you. There's lots of recommendations that I think we should add, and as you say, we're running out of time. And I fear that if I start to list them, it's going to create a whole discussion that's going to last hours. But let me just make one observation, for example. There's no recommendations here about the SABC whatsoever. There's nothing there about the GCIS. And there's nothing about ICASA. Now, those are the three big entities. All we're dealing with here in these recommendations are MDDA, in fact. So I don't think that we've been comprehensive with the recommendations as they put here. And we need to really sit down together and work out how, you know, what is the problem with the SABC? Let's work out what the problems are and what we would recommend as a committee to fix it. What are the problems at ICASA? What are the problems at the GDIS? None of that stuff is mentioned here. So, I mean, this report doesn't really mean much because it ignores the major entities within the that we oversee as a committee. So I'm just not quite clear what we're supposed to do with this report, which ends up just making some recommendations essentially about the MDDA and misses out the key entities.
Okay, honourable members, we did make mention that other recommendations cut across. Right? Yes, they cut across all entities, was all observations. They had almost the same weaknesses, all entities there. Yeah? We did indicate as well that we're going to amend it to actually refer to all other entities. Okay, honourable members, I'm at a point where I want to present this report before the portfolio committee.
I would just like to say that today has not been a very good meeting because I feel that I've been shot down at every opportunity by yourself and by my colleagues on this committee. I've raised very, very valid concerns which are in the interests of this country, and it feels to me that I've been steamrolled today, and there's been no willingness to engage objectively and fairly with the points that I've been trying to make today. And this report is a wholly deficient.
No, you're taking us back.
I want to end up with
it.
Sorry, are you the chairperson of this committee?
No, but you're taking us back.
Don't insult the chairperson.
No, you're taking us back.
Can proceed.
Chairperson, we're going to end up with a completely deficient report that doesn't reflect the state of play in the communication sector. It just simply doesn't. This is a parallel universe. This is not what is actually happening in our sector. It paints a rosy picture of the SABC. It paints a rosy picture of the sector. It doesn't interrogate any of the key issues. And I would like strongly object to this report.
No, with due respect.
I think the Honourable Davis has finalized by strongly rejecting the report. Yes, Honourable Members, we need to allow the member. If he feels that he doesn't accept the report, really, why would we? You've got the right, Honourable Davis. We have actually kept that.
Can I add something, please? I also would like to just have it put on record that I strongly object to the way that this meeting was conducted.
Honourable members can proceed.
We can use this forum to school Honourable Davis on how a report on budget vote to be started. This report cannot capture each and every detail about our entities. You want us to capture a recommendation on a broken window and that's a deal.
No. Honourable members, I don't know.
Let him go. His attitude is how he wanted to do this.
If you are speaking, then this time. You were supposed to be allowed to speak the same way as he did. So if when you speak, then there must be in an action like this, I take serious reservation for making this meeting a committee. And it can be only around one individual. You speak, we allow you, you finish. And we stop the members when they do that. You are not supposed to do that when Honourable Take. We said you are speaking. It's fine if you feel that you have made your point. Thank you very much. But any other issues, Honourable Members? I'm presenting the report.
Yes. I think I'm covered, but I was just worried. Because a report on budget vote cannot capture each and every detail. You can't capture a report, a recommendation on a broken window at the SABC. It is not the purpose of this report. The purpose of this report is to capture policy critical matters about the entities and the department. And that is the essence of this report. And that is exactly what we have done.
Thank you.
Honourable Parek? I also unfortunately would like to put my objection, because there is definitely things that Honourable Parek put forward that I do agree with. And I also feel that I must agree with you too, that the way that in which the meeting is, has been conducted in a way that members should give each other proper time to speak when they are at the point of presenting themselves. Thank you. Thanks, Honourable Member, and we are noting your objection, and on the report is proper. Members are not agreeing with the report. Honourable Members, with all the amendments, with all the recommendations, I'm presenting this report. Any mover for the adoption of the report? Moved by Honourable Ketani. Any seconder? Moved by Honourable Ndonyeni. And yes. Yes. Thank you, Honourable Member.
Thank you.